Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. It is October 17, year of our Lord 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. We are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be with us each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we are in the sanctuary giving God the praise and worship. We ask that you will come and join us each Sunday morning. Be a part of the First Baptist of Holly Springs family. We also invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find our calendar of events, upcoming programs. You'll also find the Sunday morning service. If you're out of the area, cannot be with us on Sunday morning, you can certainly tune in on Facebook Live, and you can watch the Sunday morning service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. As I said before, that's 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can tune in and you can watch the First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning service. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find the Bible study call-in number and the link for the Bible study. You can call that number. That number is area code 845-241-9839, or you can click on the blue link in the advertisement, and you can go directly to that Bible study. So you can either call in, or you can click on the link on the Facebook page, and you can hear the Bible study by clicking on the link. You can participate by calling in. That way, you'll have an active voice in the Bible study. Now, there are four ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can come to church on Sunday morning, and you can bring your tithes, offerings, and your gifts of expression of love to the house of God, or you can mail them in. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that, or you can come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take your offerings and your tithes and give you account of that. And also, we do have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App. The Cash App starts with the dollar sign, the letters FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. You can support First Baptist tonight. You don't have to worry about Sunday. You can do it right now. You can be a supporter of First Baptist of Holly Springs. So we thank God for all of you who are on the line tonight, those of you who are listening over the internet. There may be those of you who won't hear this Bible study until you days later. You can go back and click on the link and you can hear the Bible study, which we're doing right now. But any way you do it, we thank God for you. We thank God for all of you who are tuning in, for those of you who continue to support the house of God and continue to study your Bible to find out what thus saith the Lord. We thank God for all of you who are part of the First Baptist family. We pray God will continue to bless you. I want to send out special regards and prayers for Dignitas Lyons. She is under the weather. Last I heard, she was in the hospital. Hopefully, she's doing well. I have not heard anything since then. And so we send out prayers to her. We send our condolences and everything that we need to send out to those who are going through. There are people who are going through everywhere, whether they're sick in the hospital or at home, whether they're going through health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, job problems, family problems, whatever they're going through. People are always going through something. We all have something that we have to deal with. And we certainly want to make sure that we send out our prayers for those, particularly those who are sick, those who find themselves in the hospital, those who find themselves sick either at home or in the hospital. We send out our prayers and we let them know that we love them and that we know that the Lord can bless, he can heal, and he can deliver. And so we certainly want to make sure that we mention Dignitas Lyons, tonight as she is going through it. Tonight is her night, but it could be ours tomorrow. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We pray, God, for your blessing upon this house of worship, that you will continue to bless the Bible study of First Baptist of Holly Spring, that we will continue to study your word, find out what thus saith the Lord. We thank you, God, that you did not leave us without a word, that in times like these, we can go to your word and we can find instruction and comfort for our soul. We pray now, God, that you will continue to bless churches everywhere. Touch us right where we are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, last week we were not able to get in contact. I don't know what happened. There was some type of network breakdown, and we weren't able to come on last week, but I did go back on Wednesday night, and I did a synopsis of the study for last week. It was called Faith Without Works is Dead. You can go back to the Facebook page, and you can click on that link, and it will take you directly to that Bible study. And you can hear the Bible study that we did last week. We weren't able to have people call in, but on Wednesday night, I did come back. Usually when we have problems on Tuesday night, I'll try to come right back Wednesday night to see if the line is open. And if so, I will deliver that lesson on Wednesday night. But last Tuesday, we were not able to connect with the network. And so I did come back Wednesday night, and I did teach that lesson. It was a brief synopsis, not too long, only about 40 or maybe 45 minutes of that lesson that I recorded. But that lesson is on the Facebook page. It's called Faith Without Works is Dead. You can go back and you can listen to that lesson at your leisure. Tonight, our lesson is coming from James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter. Our lesson is called Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. I'll wait until you find it. I'll pause for a minute. Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. Apparently, the churches to which James was writing had too many men who were self-appointed teachers. In the Jewish synagogue, rabbis are highly respected, and the office was often one that parents coveted for their sons. It was proper to respect the rabbis because of their sacred scripture that they expounded, but it was wrong to give men the honor that God alone deserves. Jesus confronted the Jewish leaders on this account in Matthew 23:6-11. There's a certain inherent prestige in becoming a teacher or a preacher. Presumably, you know more than those who you teach, which means that in some way they should look up to you. Because of this, there is this built-in danger that some will take it upon themselves and take advantage of the Bible teaching and give teaching for the wrong reason, or that those who took the position for the right reason later fall into pride. If a man or woman goes into teaching or preaching the Bible because of a secret desire for status or recognition, he or she is doing it for themselves and not for the Lord. And this is what our lesson is about tonight. James, again, is addressing the church in Jerusalem, one of the biggest churches that had been started during that time. And he wanted to give them instructions on the Christian life, which he has done. But in this particular chapter, James turns to another subject altogether, taming the tongue. So when we go to the third chapter and we read that first verse, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." The crowds elevated Jesus' teaching and declared that he taught with authority. Yet his enemies tried to entrap Jesus as a teacher with various questions. And at one point, Jesus said his teaching was wiser and greater than King Solomon's teaching. In Luke 11:31, we read these words of Jesus. "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here." God condemns false prophets and teachers because they can mislead people away from God and the truth into the believing and practicing. After they begin practicing evil, They can influence their families and their friends, their neighbors, and even practice evil themselves. Those who teach will be tested and evaluated more strictly than others, because teachers have more influence over more people than those who do not teach. Teachers must live according to what they teach and be judged. Jesus warned his disciples, beware the teaching of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Jesus also warned the Pharisee, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, that are hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven, but you do not go in yourself, and when others are going in, you stop them. So this is what he means by, he says, brethren, be not many masters. In other words, don't be so anxious. Don't be so anxious to be a preacher. Don't be so anxious to be a teacher, because what it says down here, the second part, is that you have to have a greater condemnation. Those of you who know better ought to do better. And so that's what that particular scripture means. So if you are a preacher or a teacher or someone who instructs people, you got to do it the correct way. If you don't do it the correct way, then you are misleading people, and you will be judged by misleading folk. In verse 2 it says, for in many things we offend all. Any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You see, people can make mistakes that are unintentional errors in facts and judgment. These mistakes, these unintentional mistakes, are not sins, but these mistakes can lead others into sin. Some intended mistakes are the result of sinful behavior and thinking, and they can cause much harm. Some mistakes are unintentional and made because people have limited abilities and foresight, but they can still cause harm. Someone may mistakenly think that they are saying one thing when something else comes out of their mouth instead. Through mistaken statements, it can be sinful and harmful and mislead someone. Only God speaks, acts perfectly all the time. Jesus Christ is our example of perfect speaking and acting. The Holy Spirit can help people understand the scriptures and influence them to say and do much good. What we say is the most difficult part of our lives to control. Let me say that again. What we say is the most difficult part of our lives to control. It is easier to obey one of the Ten Commandments than to speak perfectly or speak without any sin all the time. We can move our tongues so easily and so quickly, too easily and too quickly. Therefore, as Christians, whenever we teach or give advice, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us do so without making any mistakes. And if we do make a mistake, that the Holy Spirit will delete that mistake from the minds of our listeners or readers, or help us to correct our mistakes as quickly as possible, and then ask for forgiveness. In verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. James here uses an illustration familiar to those who receive his letter. They knew how riders or chariot drivers put bits in the mouth of horses to lead them. If believers can also keep their mouths perfectly in check, they also have the power to choose how to use their bodies. Because keeping their mouths perfectly in check is far more difficult than controlling their bodies. People can often keep their bodies out of trouble by keeping their mouth shut. We need to pray and ask God to put a figurative bit in our mouth to guide our thoughts and our words. James here gives a wonderful example of a horse. You know, a horse is a very powerful animal, and there's very little you can do to stop a horse. But with the bit in the horse's mouth, you're able to control that horse. You can make it go right. You can make it go left. And that's a small thing, just a bit. And if you can put a bit in a horse's mouth and control him, then you can certainly control your mouth. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, behold, also the ships, which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth. In other words, a ship that weighs tons is actually guided by a very small thing, the helm or the rudder, a very small instrument that's on the ship. And that thing can control that big ship. It can make it go left or it can make it go right. It's a little thing, but that little thing can control a whole ship. You see, today someone might illustrate James' teaching by comparing the tongue to a small steering wheel or a car or a bus. The driver can use the steering wheel to take people wherever he wants to take them, and he can turn wherever he wants to turn. Small things can create big movements and can create big things. Small deeds can bring big results. Small, short words can work good, or they can work great evil. We need to pray and ask God to pilot our lives and our mouths and guide us where he wills. We need to pray that God will help us. He will help us and he will guide us so that when we speak, we will speak words that will encourage others. Our study of the Bible enables us to learn the perfect will of God for everyone. And we can pray that the Holy Spirit will help us apply the Bible teaching every day and in every way. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Some people use their tongues to brag or to tell lies about themselves and their accomplishments. Some teachers may use their tongues to prove that they are better or smarter than others. Small boasts can lead to big problems. Small boasts can lead to big problems, especially when one places their trust as someone who has misrepresented their abilities and their experience. For example, a surgeon who tries to perform surgery with a falsified medical license can do great damage and even murder their patient. You see, a small lie can lead to a big deception that creates great harm as it misleads many. The devil can manipulate a false prophet and enable them to perform great exhibits in order to mislead those who believe in their teaching. Now, let me stop right there because I have a gripe there. There used to be a time when ministers and preachers had to have some type of schooling before they were allowed to go into the pulpit and teach God's people. But something happened about 20 years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and for some reason people started using this thing, well, you don't have to go to school. God will give you what you need. And so consequently, we have a lot of preachers in pulpits now who have no idea of what they're doing. They're not using proper language. They're not interpreting the Bible proper way. And so they're misleading people. And what people are hearing from them is not scripture teaching. They're basically hearing people expound on what they want to talk about. And so we got these ministries now that just talk about your attitude and what you're doing here and what the Bible said, do that. And the devil is doing this to you and what you need to do here. And you hear a lot of that, but has nothing to do with teaching the scriptures. A lot of our preachers now are splitting verbs and dangling participles, and they're teaching people the wrong way. And bless God, people are listening to it, and they like it. The Bible did say that in the end time, people will have itching ears. That means they only want to hear something that will scratch their itch so that they can holler and scream, go ahead, preacher, you preaching now, you preaching now. And they'll have no idea what you're talking about. It's like going to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, you know, you got to stop eating certain things. You got to exercise. You go, yeah, doctor, you sure is doctoring now. Yeah, doctor, you got that right. You sure got that right. You sure know how to doctor. And then you go home and don't do none of that. What good is that? What good was all of that? And I find that particularly in the African-American church. I hear people hollering and screaming and jumping up and down, shouting and falling out because a preacher said something that sounds good to them. But bless God, when they get up and dust the dust off the clothes, they go right back outside. They're the same person they were before they came in. What good was all of that? What was all of that for? And we have accepted that as having church. Sixth verse. Told you I had a gripe about that. I didn't mean to go off. And the tongue is a fire a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire as hell. James wrote about what can happen when someone does not carefully control what they say. Even if they try to prayerfully control what they say, they can speak mistakenly or angrily and set events in motion that far exceed what was actually or originally said or intended. Let me say that again. Even if they try to prayerfully control what they say, they can still speak mistakenly and angrily that will set events in motion that far exceed the actual or original thing that the words intended. Evil people can say or do things to believers that can influence them to say something that stains them and creates a cycle of escalation of sinful words and sinful actions. So we have to be very careful. We see that in the news all the time where these preachers or teachers have been called on the carpet either by law enforcement or by churches because they are teaching things or saying things to people that they shouldn't be doing. And some of them are taking liberties with people, particularly young people. I just read an article about a young preacher in Alabama who was just arrested because of his preaching prowess. Parents thought he was safe for their children to be around. He's a saved man. He's a man of God. He was abusing the children, and they arrested him for that. So you got to be careful. Just because somebody can speak well or because they know a few scriptures does not mean that they're doing the right thing. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tame and have been tame of mankind. Both domestic and wild animals have been tamed by human beings, and God gave human beings dominion over the animals. In Genesis 1:26, we read, then God said, let us make mankind in our own image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. People have often watched and amazed when some animals have responded to their trainers in ways that thought impossible. But these trained animal acts are easier to achieve than the taming of the human tongue. Verse 8. I want to stop there because that brought my mind to something. I saw the circus where the lion tamer goes into the cage with the lions and he cracks the whip. And the lions do exactly what he wants them to do. Don't you know that if they decide not to do that, he got a problem. But he has trained them to jump through the hoop or to do whatever he wants them to do when he cracks the whip. Verse 8. But the tongue can do no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In other words, you can tame a lion, but you can't tame your tongue. Ain't that something? Only God can tame the human tongue. However, God will only do so when we place ourselves under his dominion as our Lord and Savior. Apart from God's help, a person cannot tame their tongue, and with their mouth they will say evil or hurtful words, even unintentionally sometimes. Good-hearted people will sometimes say destructive words in the heat of anger, and it can poison a relationship forever. James wanted to express upon believers how important it is to regard your emotions, your emotional response, and your emotional words, for they can do much harm. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. James wrote to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though and through this, he has made the likeness of man of God. Human beings have been perfectly obeyed by God, and they have been made by God. In this life, even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ do not live and speak perfectly. Even though believers do not speak perfectly, and know they do not, they cannot use their human imperfections as excuses for not changing or for not trying to change with the help of the Holy Spirit, reading the scriptures. Okay, I think that comes under, that's just how I am. When people try to make excuses for what they do or what they say, well, that's just how I am. So they're trying to make an excuse for their human imperfection. But what the Bible said, there is no excuse for that. There is no excuse for your human imperfections. Because you are human, there's nothing you can do about it. The Holy Spirit and prayer and reading the scripture can better help you with your imperfections. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ may bless God with their prayers. They will sing songs of praise and worship. Unhappily, they can also misuse their tongue to gossip and say things about others that are evil or untrue. Believers who have been wronged by others can also sin by cursing them instead of praying for them or having wronged them. In other words, I'll do to you what you've done to me. In Luke 6, 27 and 28, Jesus commanded, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." That takes experience, beloved. It takes experience to bless folks who curse you. That takes experience to pray for those who abuse you. That takes experience. It will not happen overnight. You cannot join the church tomorrow and expect for that to happen the next day. That takes a walk with the Lord. Let's look at verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be, not so to be. Believers ought not to both bless and curse because they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus can guard their mouths if they let him. Christians should aim to bless everyone. Cursing shows a lack of maturity or self-control. Some who claim to be Christians take the name of the Lord in vain, and they must strive to overcome this evil habit, even if those around them do not refrain from misusing Jesus' name. And I find that to be true. If you hang around people that curse a lot, eventually you'll start cursing. It's just natural. So you have to separate yourself from those type of people. You have to keep from being around them a lot. I know they may be friends of yours or either family members. And then, too, it wouldn't hurt for you to remind them sometime. You know, do you have to curse so much? And of course, they'll get mad. They may curse you out. But the Bible said, bless those that curse you. Pray for those that abuse you. Verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Naturally, a single stream from a single source cannot put forth two different types of water at the same time from one single source. Water can begin to flow fresh and clean, but that water can become polluted as it flows downstream. At the source, pure water is not polluted. Likewise, Christians should not both bless and curse. If their hearts are right with God, they will not curse others, but always strive to bless them. When the Holy Spirit comes to live within the heart of a believer in Christ, pure speech and pure life pours from the Holy Spirit. However, if a believer is not careful, their thoughts, their words, and their actions can become polluted with impurities. They have added to their belief and thoughts of error they have learned from others. We must pray and ask the Holy Spirit to keep our hearts, including our thoughts and our choices, pure. In Matthew 5 and 8, Jesus promised, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In 2 Timothy 2, 22 and 26, Paul wrote, "Shun youthful passion and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace among these who call the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupidity or senseless conversation. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, including teachers, patients, and children. God may perhaps grant that we will repent and come to know the truth, and and that they may escape from the snare of the enemy, having been led captive by him to do his will. Let's look at verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James once again applies to people's common sense or ability to reason when he wrote to encourage Christians to control themselves or put themselves prayerfully under the control of the Holy Spirit so they will understand and behave accordingly to the scripture. You see, people reap what they sow. Grapevines produce grapes, not figs. Adding salt to water will not make the water fresh. Believers need to pray for God's grace to help them not add anything that is impure to their lives and to resist any temptation to do so. You see, what reason did James have for giving this advice is that the fact that the church now is growing, in Jerusalem in particular. The church is beginning to get bigger now. So there must be some guidelines. There must be some things that we must do in the house of God in order to keep the church going well, to keep the integrity of the church intact. And one of those things that we do is the way we speak. I told you in that lesson last week, you go back and listen to that, faith without works is dead. And there are so many people today who get that completely confused. They think if they just got faith alone, that's all right. But the Bible tells us that there is no faith if there is no action. How are you going to claim you love the Lord, but you don't love your fellow man? Or you won't help your fellow man? You can have faith. The Bible says even the devil knows him, but that doesn't mean he's going to do anything to help you. So we have to remember and remind ourselves that if we are Christians, if we are who we say we are, there are some things that we have to understand about being a Christian and the life of Christians, and that is to tame our tongue. Where we live today tells us how we will live tomorrow. Where we live on this earth will determine where we'll live in eternity. And we have to learn, beloved, that there are things that we can do in this life to improve our situation. And the first thing to do is to seek the power of the Holy Spirit and to ask the Holy Spirit to infuse us with things that we lack, to teach us things that we don't know anything about, and to change us and conform us into the mind of Christ. This is what James wanted to tell us tonight. He wants us to understand that in all we do as children of God, we must remember that we are influencers and somebody is watching you. And what you say and what you do can influence a great many. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some tonight who would like to speak on the lesson. We're going to stop right there in verse 12. We're going to come back next week and continue with this lesson. But I wanted to stop right here because there may be some who would like to speak on the lesson so far tonight. Maybe you have gone through some of these things that we've talked about. I know you have said some things that you wish you had not said. I've done that, and I know many of you may have done the same thing. As soon as you say it, you say to yourself, I shouldn't have said that. But it's too late. Once words leave the mouth, you can't get them back in. Amen. So I'm going to open the lines and see if anyone has anything they'd like to add. I got a couple of questions I want to ask as well. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits is 5088. 5088. Deacon, it's raining. Are you on the line? Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Yes, I am. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson tonight about taming your tongue. And what you were saying at the end was really true about once it leaves your mouth, you can't go back and get it. It's just like the internet, which is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to be careful about what we say, as well as what we do, how we deal with situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true about somebody's always watching you. And I also believe that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, you know, they see you and they're going to see how you handle the situation.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? 3447.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Deacon Fuller, how are you tonight? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good.
All
right.
Doing
go right
well.
In.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, we all have to watch what we say because sometimes we don't have no regulator on that mouth. And even you know, saying things in an honest fashion can help, can hurt people too in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I said last other week before, that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. We have to be slow to speak and quick to understand and ask God for discernment. And that's
mm-hmm.
a day-to-day thing. That's at work, that's with family, that's with church members, that's with mom and dad, that's with everything, because that's something that we should apply every day. And that's
mm-hmm.
one thing, you know, when a lot of hurt comes from the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to comment as well. I noticed the trend too, Pastor, about what you said about how folks are not going and getting educated through Bible training, because there is a whole lot of just even in the scripture, but there's a lot of historical stuff that has gone on, like that is in the background that's not really as clear when you're just going in, so you can give your members the background, the setup of how things are. And I noticed that you do that a lot. You put that background. But if you just go nilly-dilly, some of that stuff ain't mentioned about what happened in that time in the Bible, you're going to miss it.
Amen.
And then the crowd is going to miss it. And then
Amen.
What happens is they ingest what that person is saying, and they're misinformed their whole life. And then they'll try to, you know, relay it to the kids or whoever, and they're misinformed.
Right. So. That's right. It goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Thank
Great.
You.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the lesson. That's all I want to tell.
Okay. I might have a question for you in a minute. Let me go to the next number. Area code 919.
Okay.
Last four digits 2534. 2534. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Deacon Taylor, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm recovering from a little sickness myself, but I was waiting to hear this word tonight, and when you said I'm open the floor to questions, I was still ready for some more lessons. But I thank God for the lesson, thank God for the teacher. Once again, this is one of these lessons where we should have a worldwide broadcast of this lesson. There's a lot of people that need to hear this lesson tonight, and the one from last week, you know,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. But, but yes, sir, no, I agree with Deacon Fuller that, yes, we as individuals do, you know, need to think about what we say before we say it, and especially as if you're someone in leadership, you definitely have to look at several aspects and sides of something and go in prayer about it. As the scripture said, go and pray about it to be guided to say and or do the right thing. And once again, this lesson from the book of James is a very, very powerful one from such a small book. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question. James talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in a Christian's life?
The Holy Spirit in a Christian's life, it's that thing that we as humans in the physical form, is not tangible to us. We can't touch it. Can't necessarily see it. So the Holy Spirit is what God is. That's what's in our heart. What's in our minds, or what suddenly come on our minds. Say go this way and not that way. Mm-hmm. What come on our minds to reach out and touch someone when they probably getting ready to do something bad or whatever. The Holy Spirit guides us to keeps us as a Christian, guides us, you know, when we want to give up. Mm-hmm. And it gives us strength to keep going on. Because as I said, as human beings, as men, as women, in physical form, in the flesh, we want to see something, we want to touch something, well, to know it's true or know it happened, or, you know, a lot of times, you know, situations arise and we want to pull our hair out and you know that calming of our spirit, of our minds, of our hearts is nothing less than the Holy Spirit upon us.
Mhm. Mhm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Deacon Fuller, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still.
Thank you, Deacon Taylor. Deacon Fuller, I wanted to ask you a question. James here says that a fountain sends forth at the same place. A fountain does not send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. What does he mean by that?
A fountain does not produce sweet water and bitter water at the same time.
Right.
That means it's just in the sense like of a double-minded person.
Right.
A fountain is going to, you know, it's either going to be good water or it's going to be bad water. Mm-hmm. And you got to know what you're drinking. Mm-hmm. You got to know what you're drinking from.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Holy Spirit, it produces this, it helps discern, it helps with your discernment, it helps with you as a comforter, then describes as a comforter. I think the Holy Spirit in my life is like a shot of adrenaline to me. It makes you do supernatural, superhuman things. You know, adrenaline, you heard people picking up cars and stuff. But metaphorically speaking, it helps you overcome different avenues in your life that you thought you couldn't overcome. It overcomes all the despair in your life. It gives you a lifted inspiration. That's what I feel what the Holy Spirit is within me. But I know I jumped the gun. I was just thinking that about what Deacon Taylor was saying and how I was just getting joy, feeling, just knowing that what's going on in my life right now with the Holy Spirit, despite all the calamity that's going on, despite all the health issues, despite all the traveling and all that. I know it's a sustaining thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the fountain, I've heard it say, you know, the fountain, you can't have bitter and sweet water. It's either hot or cold. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I described it, the, you know, in the way that.
Absolutely. Deacon, it's raining. Are you there?
Yes.
What does it mean when we say people reap what they sow? What does that mean?
It means that if you're putting out bad seeds, that's what you're going to end up with. You're not going to end up with a harvest. You end up with a bad harvest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I'm asking all of you one question. You can take your turn. Have you ever said anything that you wish you could take back? I'll start with you, Dickiness Rain. Have you ever said anything that as soon as you said it, you knew it was wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about it?
Not too good. But
okay.
I couldn't take it back at that point. Didn't feel
okay.
good.
Okay. All right. Dick and Taylor.
Yes, sir. I'm sure I have. I was trying to think of a situation, but the only situation I could think of would be my earlier dating days. You know, you told one little white lie, you had to tell another white lie, and the lies snowballed and became an avalanche. So, mm-hmm. yes, sir. That was it.
Okay. All right. Bigger Fuller.
Oh, yeah. I've said stuff out of anger that made me feel good, and then, but it was so deleterious, it wasn't worth saying. So we
mm-hmm.
We have to guard our tongue. We got to.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say there's stuff that I said that still have repercussions to this day. Friendships are lost.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
So.
I've had that same. Experience. I think one of the things that we need to deal with the fact that what we say to our children, sometimes they can get you so upset, they can make you so mad that you can say some things to them that you really don't mean. And they will hold that stuff inside, you know. And I think one of the things that we can do to practice being better at that is to start with our families, to start with our wives and our children. Take a minute before you speak. I've learned to do that. I didn't get it until I got older. You know, right now, young people, they, you know, you say this to me, I'll say that to you. You say this to me, I'll say that to you. But as you get older, you learn that once someone says something, whether it's hurtful or whatever, take a minute and think about it first before you respond to that. Because your mind could tell you, no, don't say that, or go a different direction. So I think that's one of the ways that we can practice keeping our tongue in check is to do it with the people that are closest to us so that when we go out and deal with people who are not close to us, who we're aptly ready to say the wrong thing to, we'll have that same talent or that same experience of waiting before we speak. As you say, that's why we got two ears and one mouth. We need to learn how to wait before we talk. And I know right now I've heard people have conversations and they talk all on top of each other. And nobody understands nothing. One person is trying to out-talk the other person. And nobody's listening to nobody. Mm. And that doesn't lead to any kind of good situation. And nothing gets resolved. And I think if we learn how to wait before we speak, take 10 seconds. Whatever, before you answer a question or before you come back with a retort to somebody, what somebody said to you. I think that will help us as we go forward. Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to add? Anyone else have anything they'd like to add? Deacon Fuller, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you just guide us and continue to keep us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be able to witness and listen to the word, Jesus. We thank you for allowing us to digest it and understand how applicable this is into our lives, Lord. We thank you for those on the panel, those who are absent, and we ask you, Lord, that those members and those disciples, that they also get a vested interest in attending Bible study so they too are fed the word and so they can digest and understand and apply it to their lives, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you our respect, Lord. We give you our love, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' majestic name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Don't forget Sunday is homecoming. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Reverend Otis Byrd is our special preacher for homecoming. So we're going to have a great time in the Lord. This coming Sunday, 10 a.m., 157 years, God has blessed First Baptist of Hollow Spring. We want you to be there. Those of you who are on the line, those of you who will hear this Bible study later on, come and see us at First Baptist of Holly Spring. We're going to have a great time in the Lord next Sunday at 10 a.m. God bless all of you. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, while strolling along a life highway, on that road, a mighty storm, I heard a voice from heaven saying, you're standing out there alone. And I thought about King Jesus, then I folded up my arms, then I started out for heaven, whoa, and I stepped in the safety. Whoa, I'm standing in the safety zone. So many times I stand alone. Oh, when all of my friends see me and they call me to weep and moan. Whoa, I'm standing in the safety zone. So many times I stand alone. And if you want to get to heaven, whoa, you better stay in the safety zone. Well, how well do I remember, oh, when first I found the Lord. He filled my heart with joy. Then he wrote my name above. I started for that kingdom. Someday I'll reach my home. Well, I started out for heaven. Whoa, and I stepped in the safety. Whoa, I'm standing in the safety zone. So many times I stand alone. When all of my friends deceive me and they cause me to weep and moan. Whoa, I'm standing in the safety zone. So many times I stand alone. And if you want to get to heaven, whoa,